You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here on today's show. This is the Wednesday edition, and we still have a lot to talk about as Tennessee sports are on hold right now. We're going to dive into football. We're going to get into basketball. I'm going to save basketball for the final segment of the show. I'll go ahead and tell you the update. Tennessee won't be playing basketball this week. Games next week are canceled as well. The Vols will not play Gonzaga, which is really disappointing. The Notre Dame game, which was expected to happen December 4th, is off. And Tennessee is hoping to get back to basketball activities in full on December 5th. So that'll be a week from Saturday, the day that Tennessee is scheduled to play Florida in football. And then December 12th, Tennessee is planning to play Cincinnati. The Vols could add to the schedule. I'll get to basketball in the third segment of the show. It's going to be football in segments number one and number two. In the first segment, I'm going to get back to the quarterback position, which I had planned to talk about on Tuesday, but then everything happened, so I didn't. But the quarterback conversation's not going anywhere, and my opinion really is unchanged. I think Tennessee should get Harrison Bailey ready to start against Florida. I'll get to that in segment number one. In segment number two, I'm going to talk to John Talty, who covers the SEC for AL.com, and he is not buying in to Jeremy Pruitt as the head coach at Tennessee. I'll go ahead and tell you that, but we will discuss it. I'll see what he thinks about Tennessee's football program and where things could be moving forward coming up in the second segment of today's show. Locked On Vols is here normally 5 days a week. On Friday, I'm going to be off tomorrow, Thanksgiving, and then I'll have another show for you before the weekend hits. I appreciate you being here. Thanks to everybody who's helped spread the word to other Tennessee fans about Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. So when the Tennessee Vanderbilt game was postponed, I thought, okay, should Tennessee still get Harrison Bailey ready to start against Florida? Florida's a much tougher team, and that may not be a favorable position for him to be in. But then I also thought, well, Florida's defense is not elite. That's a defense that you can have success against. In fact, we just saw Vanderbilt last weekend find some offensive success, have a lead in the first half, and Vanderbilt was led by freshman quarterback Ken Sills, a guy who was not as highly touted as Harrison Bailey arriving in college. Sills was not an early enrollee, so he got on campus, I imagine, back in the summer, and Harrison Bailey did not have a full spring semester on campus, but he was on campus to go through winter workouts, and he was there to have meetings and be a part of the start of spring practice, and then everything was put on hold. So I'm not sitting here saying Harrison has had a ton of work compared to Sills, and Bailey had to go through quarantining, which didn't help him, and he missed practice reps, and that was the coach's choice to go ahead and have JT Shrout and Brian Maurer ahead of Bailey, who was fourth on the depth chart at a time. All that being said, I don't think playing Harrison Bailey against Florida would be that daunting of a task. It won't be easy, and I'm not going to pick Tennessee to beat Florida with Bailey at quarterback, but I'm not going to beat Tennessee to beat Florida with Jarrett Garantano at quarterback either. So I would still say what I said on Monday. I'd get Harrison Bailey ready, and now you have a little extra time to get him ready for the game a week from Saturday. By the way, Jeremy Pruitt's going to meet with the media again via the SEC coaches teleconference in the middle of the day on Wednesday, so we might get an update from him on just what their plans are this week and next leading into the game against the Gators. All that being said, I would get Harrison Bailey ready to be the starter. I would have Jarrett Garantano ready in a backup role. He's done fine in that role. He's actually performed really well in that role at times going back to the 2019 season. But I would tell Harrison Bailey, hey, we're going to give you a shot and do everything you can to get ready. And then if you're the coaching staff, do everything you can to help him get ready. This is what Jeremy Pruitt said on Monday when he was asked about Harrison Bailey. Here is Jeremy Pruitt's assessment of how Harrison played against Auburn this past Saturday and now looking back at his last few games, and he's had more practice opportunity. Jeremy Pruitt talking about freshman quarterback Harrison Bailey.
Right, so I think if you go back to the Kentucky game, I think Harrison got in one drive there. I'm not sure how many plays, maybe 8 to 10 plays in that game against Arkansas. Probably very similar, might have been a little bit more, maybe 10 to 14. And then Saturday, I think he got in two drives there. You know, the one thing about him that I've really liked is I've liked his presence. He seemed to be pretty calm. He stepped in there and made two or three really good throws. Not all of them were caught, but he made a couple, two or three good throws. I feel like he kind of took what the offense gave him. If you go back and look, one thing that I really liked about it is the fact that, he didn't really get any live reps much during fall camp. So these are kind of like his opportunities. And I thought he's taking advantage of them, you know, so it gives him confidence moving forward, which is important for him, and some experience there playing on the road.
And that experience on the field on Saturdays, this past Saturday against Auburn, and the extra work that Harrison Bailey has had in practice, those combine as reasons to me to give him a shot against Florida. And the fact that you continue to see issues with Jerry Garantano, he wasn't awful against Auburn, but he made an awful mistake, and it was very costly, as you're well aware at this point. And that, to me, is reason enough to give somebody else another look, especially a guy that you believe has talent, a guy that now has more experience. So you can't say, well, he hasn't gotten the practice reps. He's gotten some practice reps. And you can't talk about, well, he was quarantined. That was a few months ago at this point. So to talk about that with Harrison Bailey would not apply here. You also have, right now, three games remaining. You're still planning to play three more games against Florida, Texas A&M, and Vanderbilt. What do you have to lose? You can't say the game because you're losing games right now. Tennessee has a five-game losing streak going in. Perhaps it can provide a spark. Perhaps you can see something in Harrison Bailey that you haven't seen before. There's also the possibility he doesn't play well. And if that's the case, go back to Jarrett Garantano, as you've already been playing him. And I think Jarrett is well aware of what's going on. It's not all on Jarrett why Tennessee has a five-game losing streak. But that quarterback position is one that you look to first most of the time. And if you're struggling there, and overall, Jarrett has not played at a high level, I think that's fair to say, why not give the freshman a look? Now, another part of this conversation, it's not just your ability to move the football down the field through the air, your ability to make big throws. That's part of it, for sure. And Bailey appears to have that kind of talent, and he has that ability. But you have to do a number of things before the ball is ever snapped. And your teammates need to know that you have control of the offense. And Jeremy Pruitt has talked about more confidence being there for Harrison Bailey, right? But on Monday, during his press conference with the media, Blake Topmeyer of Knox News asked Jeremy Pruitt, hey, for the average person who's tuning in, watching the game, what all do you ask the quarterback to do besides the obvious things, throwing the football? This is what Jeremy Pruitt said.
Well, there's a lot. Like, you can have guys that maybe throw the ball, make two or three really good throws, and you think they've had a good game, but, you know, maybe they missed in the run game, you know, 50% of the time. There's a lot that goes into it. I mean, if you're going to run the zone to our right, and they got six people over there, and we got three guys to block them, we don't need to be running the zone over there. We need to be running it to the other side. So there's lots of things that kind of go into that. We've tried to keep it simple this year just based off circumstance, really in our entire program, just because we've got guys in practice, out of practice. It's been an unusual year. So really in the kicking game, offensively and defensively, we've tried to err on the side of simplicity so we can make the other team beat us, you know, and give more guys an opportunity to play.
I would be giving Harrison Bailey an opportunity to play and start against Florida a week from Saturday. We'll see how it plays out, of course. Coming up next here on Locked On Vols, I'm going to talk to John Talty of AL.com. He has written that Jeremy Pruitt's probably not the guy for Tennessee. I'll ask him why he thinks that's the case and what he thinks Tennessee should do moving forward. Coming up next, right here on Locked On Vols. And as I've joked, the conversations here recently, what you've seen on your TV screen, might cause you to want an ice-cold Coors Light even more. And luckily, Coors Light is a perfect choice for you. No matter what game you're watching, no matter what sport you're watching, we have college hoops now starting up. You have more football, big football day coming up on Thursday. Maybe a little extra time with the relatives, but also some time to relax. You can relax with an ice-cold Coors Light. If you've been on the go in 2020, everybody's on the go in some direction, all kinds of directions, how about hitting the pause button? How about sitting back and unwinding with an ice-cold Coors Light? From Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado, Coors Light was literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is perfect for that moment to unwind, and these next few days seem like a great time to unwind. The next several weeks might be a good time to sit back and unwind. how about doing so with an ice-cold Coors Light? You can get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. That's get.coorslight.com. And I'm excited to tell you about this. There's a big sale coming up at BuiltBar.com. You know I love my Built Bars. I've tried out a number of different flavors. They have a bunch that you can look for when you go to the website. They also have the all-new white chocolate bars coming out. So beginning on Thanksgiving Day, 5 p.m., they're going to have the white chocolate cookies and cream bar, the white chocolate salted caramel bar. I have my eye on that one coming out. And with their big sale, you can get 25% off all products all weekend long. And with every item purchased, you get two free candy cane brownie bars. These are delicious treats. They're healthy options. They're low in sugar and calories, high in protein at BuiltBar.com. So here's what you do. Go to BuiltBar.com. You get 25% off for Black Friday, plus use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get an extra discount on top of that 25% off sale. They have a Cyber Monday deal coming up with more white chocolate bars on the way. So go to BuiltBar.com this weekend, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you will get 25% off for Black Friday plus the extra discount with the code LOCKEDON. That's at BuiltBar.com. I want to welcome to the show John Talty, who covers the SEC, senior sports editor and SEC insider at AL.com. John, thank you for taking some time to join me. And you wrote earlier this week about Jeremy Pruitt and the fit at Tennessee. And, of course, the Vols are right now in the middle of a five-game losing streak. All five of those losses have been by double digits. Now in the middle of year three, a little bit past the halfway point, what do you think with what you see with what's going on with Tennessee and with Jeremy Pruitt leading the program?
Yeah, I think there are real questions right now about, you know, the long-term viability of Jeremy at Tennessee and, you know, whether he can really turn things around. You know, I think he's running into some of the problems that I think other, you know, Saban proteges have had, and that, you know, A, they try to do things pretty similar to how Saban does things at Alabama, which, you know, no one has really had that much success to this point yet. You know, obviously Kirby Smart at Georgia has been the best to this point. But, you know, with what we just saw at Will Muschamp, South Carolina, I think is, you know, the concern of Jeremy is, you know, these defensive-minded guys who are Saban disciples who just can never really figure out the offense. You know, it's what doomed Muschamp at Florida, and I think it obviously played a role in his dismissal at South Carolina. The defense looked pretty bad, too, at the end. And so with Pruitt, you know, you've seen, you know, now close to three seasons of what he does. You know, we know he's, you know, comes in with a high reputation for being a defensive mind, but, you know, just from what I've seen, and you've obviously seen more than I have, but from what I've seen, just, you know, never has really been able to figure out the offense. Garantano, you know, been up and down, had some good moments. We saw some really bad ones, like that pick six against Auburn, and just the staff's inability to really get that offense at a high level, I think is, you know, certainly concerning for the future. And I think as you kind of get toward the end of this year, the big questions are, all right, heading into year four, assuming he gets one, you know, what is he going to do to fix it? And, you know, I think there are real questions about what, if any, fix he can make to reach a level of success that fans are going to be happy with.
Well, and with the Nick Saban connection, my antenna went up when I saw the comments that Nick Saban made last week, which were repetitive of what I've heard him say in the past, is that the game's changed and defense isn't going to carry you there. And the reason Nick Saban's still having the level of success he is because he changed offensively, right?
Absolutely. And I think it's something that, you know, I know we've written about plenty here, but I don't know if sometimes it gets enough credit, is that, you know, he saw the way the game was headed. He wasn't happy about it. You might remember some of his comments complaining, you know, sure, this is what we want football to be, but he saw the way it was headed. And that's why, you know, they, you know, at the time, they had Doug Niedermeyer as offensive coordinator, kind of the stodgy offense, old school, you know, game manager type stuff. And that's why he brought in Lane Kiffin. He saw the way it was headed. And he's like, I got to make some offensive changes. And, you know, it's huge, because now look at the team Alabama has this year, in which the defense is, you know, it's had some ups and some downs, had some good moments, but certainly not an elite level defense. And if the offense can power them, the offense is going to be the reason why, you know, they're going to be a favorite to make the SEC championship and ultimately make the college football playoff. And so, you know, Jeremy really hasn't fully done that. I think Kirby at Georgia is maybe starting to do that. I think he indicated a willingness to do that by hiring Todd Monken, but he hasn't really committed to it fully either. And, you know, Muschamp obviously had his issues with just never really having the right offense for kind of the way the game is played now. And so, you know, Pruitt is going to have to make changes. You know, I think it starts with, you know, Jim Chaney. I think, you know, that was an expensive hire for him, but it hasn't worked out. And I think he would be smart to hire a younger, maybe more innovative offensive coordinator to maybe try to help save his tenure at Tennessee before it's too late.
Yeah, keep going there if you want to. John Talty from AL.com, SEC Insider. What's the plan if you're Jeremy Pruitt? If you're saying to Philip Fulmer, okay, here is how I get things turned around, what is that plan? How does that happen for Tennessee in the near future? Because something probably has to give soon.
Yeah, I mean, I think it has to start with offensive changes. And so I think it has to be a willingness to be more innovative. You know, I think that means bringing in someone who's not Jim Chaney. No offense to Jim Chaney, but I think, you know, it has to make some sort of change there. You know, the good and bad is that, you know, Garantano is going to be gone at the end of this year. But, you know, who is the guy on the roster right now who's going to be willing and able to step in as the starter next year? You know, I think there's been talk of different guys, but, you know, no one I think has really blown you away. Like, oh, he's the clear-cut guy. And I think that's another kind of major indictment on Jeremy is that we've seen, you know, if you look at the two big powers, you know, I feel like of the last 5-plus years, you know, Alabama and Clemson, there's always a guy who's ready and willing to step in whenever their top quarterback graduates. And, you know, Tennessee just hasn't really had that transition from, I mean, I can't even remember the last time they really had a super capable quarterback. I guess Josh Dobbs was the best one in recent memory. And so that's a big issue as well. But I mean, I wrote this, you know, past week that the challenge, of course, is going to be, even if you move on from Chaney, you know, Pruitt's going to be obviously headed into next season on the hot seat. You know, what top offensive coordinator are you convincing to walk into a situation like that where there's going to be a lot of pressure to succeed from day one? You know, that's going to be challenging and, you know, probably will require Tennessee to make a pretty hefty investment in whoever they decide to bring in, assuming they move on from Chaney, just because it's not going to be cheap to get anyone to leave a good situation to come into one that's much more tenuous.
Yep, I would agree with that. You can read his piece, AL.com. And I would also think a couple of things. One, you face that challenge of trying to find the right guy to come in and help you get things turned around quickly on the offensive side. Jeremy Pruitt also has to buy into this, right?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that, you know, maybe doesn't get talked about enough either, is that, you know, you can see he's a defensive-minded guy, but I think he has his – certainly has his fingerprints on the offense. You know, I think just – A, hiring Jim Chaney, I think, showed in some ways the kind of offense that he wanted. I mean, Chaney's an established guy. We saw what he was doing at Georgia. I think, you know, since then, I think we've continued to see, you know, different things in which, you know, Pruitt has been involved in the offense. He's not completely hands-off, you know, the way that some other coaches are. You know, for instance, Gus Malzahn at Auburn pretty much lets Kevin Steele do whatever he wants on defense. That's his thing. You're the head coach of the defense. I'm the head coach of the offense. And I don't think that Pruitt is quite to that level, and it certainly has, you know, had an impact on the offense. And so, like you said earlier, I mean, Saban saw the way things were changing and was willing to buy into changing along with that for the betterment of his program. Pruitt is going to have to buy into needing changes if he's going to have success at Tennessee.
Hey, John, before you go, I'm curious, with Tennessee off this week, it's two postponements in the last 3 weeks. A number of teams have had to deal with this, obviously, within the conference. What do you think about how the SEC feels about where things are heading into the month of December and how the next 3 weeks might go? Obviously, everything's fluid, but just where things stand from a scheduling standpoint and what they're trying to do to play as many games as possible.
Yeah, I think it just gets harder and harder as time goes on. You know, in some ways, there's the positive, you know, we're getting closer to the finish line. We just have to survive a couple more weeks. But, you know, like Sankey has said, Commissioner Greg Sankey has said in the past, you know, the closer you get to the finish line, you know, the less wiggle room you have to move things around. You know, I think we're seeing across the SEC some challenges with some schools in particular, in which, you know, between opt-outs, transfers, injuries, things like that, their numbers are already kind of limited to begin with, that you have a couple of guys who test positive and then the subsequent contact tracing, it could really knock you down to a low number. That's what we're kind of seeing pop up time and time again. So that's going to be an ongoing challenge. Getting teams, you know, willing to want to play, I think, is an ongoing challenge. You know, we've seen Dabo wage his war about, you know, kind of accusing Florida State of backing out. But, I mean, that's a concern, I think, around the SEC, too, that, you know, toward the end of the season, certain, you know, programs, it might just be like, you know, why am I trotting myself out there if I'm 0-9 already to play a game that nobody really wants to see? And so that will be an ongoing challenge for the SEC, just to make kind of get everybody on the same page and make sure they're willing to, you know, get across the finish line. But it's a challenge, and I think at this point, you know, you're just trying to hope you get as many of these games in as possible and just hope that you can get to the SEC championship game on December 19th.
Do you hope for as many games as possible for financial reasons?
I think that's a part of it for sure. I mean, I think if you're all these different teams, you know, think about it, your numbers are already down to begin with, you know, having only 20-25% capacity at home games. And so you could use that extra couple million that come with these made up games. Certainly you've got TV partners who also care about the inventory on those things, and you've got advertisements and all that kind of stuff that goes with it. And so, you know, that's not to say that they're going to do it solely just for the money, but it would be naive to think that, you know, the financial considerations of this aren't, you know, strongly impacting the desire to get as many games played as possible, you know, before the end of the season.
Go to AL.com and read John Talty's story, what he wrote about Jeremy Pruitt and Tennessee. Keep up with his SEC coverage there as well. Hey, John, always appreciate the time. Thanks for the conversation today.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks to John for joining me here on Locked on Vols. Something has to change offensively, right? As I said earlier in the show, I would make a change at quarterback and then see where you go from there. But long-term, things have to get a lot better for Tennessee offensively. Coming up next, we'll get to Tennessee basketball. The Vols are not playing this week or next, but I'll update you on maybe some plans to try to add games back to the schedule with several cancellations. And assistant coach Mike Schwartz talks about John Fulkerson, how his game might change heading into this upcoming season. I'll get to that next here on Locked on Vols, part of the Locked on Podcast Network. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Tennessee will not play this week and Tennessee will not play next week. The Gonzaga and Notre Dame games are off. Tom Satkowiak, who works in sports information for Tennessee, told the Knoxville News Sentinel that the Vols will work on adding non-conference games to the schedule in the month of December. Nothing's guaranteed right now, but with four games right now canceled, I'm sure Tennessee would like to try to make that up. The plan right now is to get back to full-time activity on December 5th, and then the next week play Cincinnati December 12th. So if everything goes well this week and next week, hopefully December 5th, Tennessee will be back up and running full speed ahead with the basketball program, and then try to get in as many games before conference play will begin just a few weeks later. And once they get into conference play, I still believe things will go a little more smoothly. Smoothly all the way through? How could I possibly predict that? But I would offer the reminder to breathe and remember that baseball and the NFL and college football have all had to deal with issues, and they've still been able to make it through. And college basketball still has a bunch of games tipping off today, and there are a bunch of cancellations. But Tennessee will be back, and it's disappointing for sure. I'm disappointed that there's not a game tonight to talk about, or Friday, or for sure the Gonzaga game next week. That was going to be a big one, with Tennessee against the number one team in the country up in Indianapolis. But you'll still see Tennessee basketball, and the growing pains might be there as you're not having a normal preseason. You don't get the scrimmage time, the exhibition games, and the full slate of non-conference games. So that could affect Tennessee's play early on in the season or as they're getting into conference play. But I still think overall Tennessee has so much talent. Tennessee has a good coaching staff, and Tennessee has the right kind of culture and I think pretty good leaders on the team to help push through. Also big-time talent like Keon Johnson being added to the roster could make a big difference. The Athletic's updated mock draft from Sam Vecenie this week had Keon Johnson at number 5 in his 2021 NBA mock draft. He had Jaden Springer, I believe, at number 38, and then Eve Pons at number 47. So three projected draft picks right now. Josiah Jordan James could be a draft pick. John Fulkerson is a preseason SEC Player of the Year candidate. And let's not forget about him. We spend so much time talking about the newcomers and Eve Pons coming back. I don't think anybody's forgotten about John Fulkerson, but he really could be the SEC Player of the Year. If Tennessee's the best team in the conference and Fulkerson is Tennessee's best player, he'll have a really good chance to be that guy. This is what Tennessee associate head coach Mike Schwartz said when he joined us on Sports 180 last week. He's going to join us on a weekly basis during the basketball season. But listen to what Mike Schwartz said on Sports 180 when he was asked about John Fulkerson and what he could do this year.
I think the way he finished last season, particularly the last half of conference play, he's had a really strong off season, and he's, you know, he and Eve have both received some, as you mentioned, some individual preseason accolades. And John is ready to hopefully take the next step. He's really worked hard for that. In terms of his specific game, the one thing that he wants to add to it is the ability to be a consistent perimeter shooter. And again, we've talked about it actually on this show before, that he can really shoot the ball. It's just a matter of him doing it more and having a little bit more confidence in it. So I think that's what we would likely see added to his game on that side of the ball. He's a prolific scorer back to the basket. I mean, he really can do a lot of stuff when he's in tough situations with his back to the basket. And, you know, the other area that he's really become dynamic in this preseason, and is driving the basketball. We would like to use him a lot like Grant Williams was used, where you could get him the ball at the elbow area, you could get him the ball at the top of the key, and kind of run the offense through him, knowing that he'll make sound decisions and that he's got the ability to go score the basketball. And then on the other side is defensively. That's where he probably has to make the biggest improvement for him to be in contention for an award, like you mentioned, where he can really defend his position, but more importantly, he can defend multiple positions with our switching defense and versatility.
Tennessee Associate Basketball Head Coach Mike Schwartz on Sports 180 last week talking about John Fulkerson. If John's able to make more plays with the basketball, if he's able to expand his game and at least have a reliable outside shot, something that opposing defenses have to respect, and then, of course, if he can be a better defender, man, he could really be a terrific player this year. He's already a really good player, but he could be in contention to be the SEC Player of the Year. And think about that. Think about the development that we've seen and could see from John Fulkerson. Also, Tennessee this year, I think, will just have so many guys that they can trust with the ball in their hands, from Vescovi to James, Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer, Fulkerson potentially, and Victor Bailey is a guy that's going to be really interesting to watch in the backcourt for Tennessee. They should have just so much versatility, more playmaking, and also Mike Schwartz threw in that defensive side for a reason. Tennessee will expect a lot out of the players defensively. I bring up defense all the time, love talking about it, and I know Tennessee staff loves coaching that side of the court, the defensive side. That's going to be a big deal. So we'll wait a little bit longer. You still have a couple of weeks to go until Tennessee will tip things off. Right now, the first scheduled game is December 12th at home against Cincinnati. All the best to Rick Barnes, who is dealing with mild symptoms with COVID-19, according to Tennessee, and all the best to everybody else who might be dealing with it behind the scenes as they have activity shut down, and then they will plan to get back to action December 5th. That's the day that Tennessee will be back to action on the field against Florida. Coming up on Friday, I'm going to have another show for you talking Tennessee football, and we'll look ahead to the upcoming week, and I'll get a mailbag in. I'll answer some questions on Friday from some Locked On Vols listeners. We'll look ahead to the upcoming schedule. The schedule, of course, continues to be an unknown and very much fluid. Fluid's the new keyword of the week, I think, with Tennessee football and Tennessee basketball. Before I sign off, I do want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. I try to say it here every day, and I mean it. Thanks for being here on Locked On Vols. Thanks to everybody who has left a rating and review for the show on Apple Podcasts, or told friends or family, or posted something on social media. It means a lot. It's a big help to the podcast. Hope you have a great holiday. I will be back on Friday right here on Locked On Vols. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network.